Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, it wasn't the prettiest of wins to go 8-0, but something that struck me, you know, when the Patriots drop 10 balls in a game, for example, they still roll. But with the Redskins dropping 6 balls, they had no chance.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty bad in the game. The Redskins, it's one thing when you're overmatched from a talent perspective. It wasn't a very talented team that came to seemingly try to do the impossible and beat the undefeated Patriots. But then when you go out and play like that, they had no chance. You're right. I mean, it's just absolutely no chance with all those mistakes and drop passes.
Yeah, I mean, from the start, it really seemed like, with the onside kick after the first possession, it seemed like the Patriots were kind of approaching this game a little bit differently than most. I could be overthinking it, but did you feel the same way?
A little bit. And it seemed like they were well on their way to, I said 52-7. I thought it was going to be a blowout. I didn't think Washington was very good. And then it bogged down. And some of that, I think, was maybe what you're talking about, the way they approached it. But then with the injuries to the offensive line and the way things were unfolding, I think they decided, let's just win this game. Let's just take care of business. Let's do what we can do. We can run it on them. They can't stop the run. And let's get out of town, be 8-0. You know, as Bill said, they had to grind it out a little bit. They were moving bodies around. Yeah. But I think that's the sign of the best teams when, you do have to grind it out or you have some adversity and you still win pretty easily. It was a garbage touchdown. Otherwise, this is another blowout.
Well, clearly, though, the story coming out of this game, 8-0, second half of the season ahead of them, is the injuries and how they're set up for the second half. We start with Deion Lewis, who was so dynamic going in. Now he's gone for the season.
It's just such a tough blow, not just to the Patriots in the offense specifically, but to him. You know, he was a great story. I think we were all sort of getting wrapped up in it. A guy who was just struggling to find a niche in the NFL, and he did. He was a very important part of the best offense in football for the first half of the season. Now he takes a step back, and he's gone for the year. Just that, to me, is my biggest takeaway. I know the Patriots have proven time and time again they can overcome the loss of specific personnel. This will hurt, but they'll get over it. But to me, the bigger story is Lewis himself.
Yeah, James White will have to step up, and the offense will. But I'm just sad for
what
the guy.
That's how I feel about it.
And it's sad as a fan because forget about the story, because the story is a part of it, but it was fun to watch.
Right.
You watched and saw him do things that a lot of people can't do. I took some flack when I compared some of his moves to Barry Sanders. He made people look silly. It was those highlight reel type plays that made linebackers and safeties look silly. And that's fun to watch. And then on the team side, I think for whatever the amount is, it closes the gap a little. You took away a proven playmaker, a trusted playmaker. I think he was third in line in terms of Brady's options. It was Edelman and Gronk were the holdovers, and he was the new guy that broke into the Three Amigos.
I agree. All right, so that was bad in and of itself, but I think what might down the road hurt them a little bit more, if it doesn't improve, is the offensive line. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree that right now that's my bigger concern because just at some point there's a tipping point when you're losing everybody and you're finishing games with centers playing tackle and you're really, as Andy pointed out off the top, you're adjusting what you're doing offensively based on your personnel that's available. So if Vollmer, depending on, you always get scared when you see head injuries. He misses the rest of the game with a head injury. Cannon has been out with a toe. I think you got to get Marcus Cannon back on the field here. At some point, you got to suck it up and play. I know that it's probably, we're going to make light of it because it's a toe injury. We know it's got to be something that's significant, but they got to get him back out there.
Yeah, I mean, you had essentially just guards and centers on the field, and Cameron Fleming, who is a practice squad call-up basically at this point in his career, who had never played left tackle. Brian Stork, did the job. Bill Belichick said he can never remember seeing that in his 40-plus years, a guy plays center, guard, and tackle in the same game. And you look at what they've lost from a year ago. When it finally settled in, you're now down definitively 3 starters, and the other day you were down most of them because Stork wasn't in the role that he played last year.
And then you take away Lewis, which was, he was that outlet, bailed them out of a lot of third and longs and so on. It's one less thing for Brady to depend on with a line that's shaky. So, getting the ball out of his hands will probably be paramount this week going into the Giants.
Well, it's been paramount all year. You can't go much faster. At some point, there is a certain amount of time needed to take the snap and find a receiver. So you've already been doing it faster than most teams do it. How do you cover up for this? Well, part of it is getting some guys back, but part of it is what they always say. Next man up. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to do the job. Whoever's out there, I need you to do it. And that's where Googe comes in. I think he's done a great job in coaching.
The offensive line.
Yeah, Dave DeGuglielmo. Right. So give him his credit. He came in and filled some big shoes, and we found he's got big feet.
All right. And Defense, I think they played well, but again, six drops. I don't think Redskins were a true test to the defense. I think coming up, this Giants game will be.
Well, let's give them a little bit of credit for stopping the run. I agree with you about the drops, but they did another, that's what, 3 weeks
three
in a row
one.
Now, completely dominant stopping
the run. Now, number three in the NFL on run defense the year they lose Vince Wilfork. That's pretty impressive. You know, to move forward with some veterans and your first-round pick, Malcolm Brown, and you have great linebackers, but I don't care. To be top three in anything is impressive.
And what I like, it's not just one set. They're rotating guys
yep.
in, and they're all having success. So that's a good sign going forward.
And no you're right now, Freddie, because you have what you've been looking for. You have a test coming up.
That's right.
The good news is they can stop the run in a league where stopping the run matters.
Doesn't matter.
Well, we haven't beat the Giants in 8 years. That's got to stop this Sunday.
I've been talking about the improvements the Patriots made up front against the run the last few weeks. It really started in the Dallas game. That continued against the Jets in Miami, and it was dominant once again against Washington. The Redskins haven't run the ball very well this year, but 2.5 yards a carry is really good stuff. Allen Branch is a guy that I think that has emerged among that four-man rotation and those defensive tackles. He came up with a huge play in the game. I know the Patriots were well ahead for most of it, but at 17-3, Washington driving to start the second half, and Branch comes up with a huge stop on third and short. Strips the ball away, Rob Ninkovich recovers. That run defense has been a real strength. Obviously, replacing Deion Lewis is not going to be an easy task, and James White will be likely the first guy up to try to get that job done. But I don't think it's going to fall on just one person. Brandon Bolden, we saw, get some action at the end of the game against Washington. I also think there's another guy that might factor into the equation here, and it's not necessarily a running back. It's Danny Amendola. I think when you've seen Deion Lewis out of the lineup so far this year, you've seen Amendola a little bit more involved in the offense. I don't think he'll be out of the backfield per se, but I do think his role could increase, and that's where some of that production that you lose with Lewis, you might gain with Amendola. Now, the other area, obviously, that's a huge concern in terms of injuries is the offensive line. Sebastian Vollmer, Marcus Cannon, you don't have a lot of tackles. You're going to have to figure out how you're going to get this done. And I brought this up a few weeks ago, but Michael Williams is an X factor here. I think his versatility allows Bill Belichick to be a little bit more reckless with his decisions in terms of who's active on game day. You can have him as the extra tight end the way he's been, and you can also use him as a tackle, a flat-out tackle, and I think he has the ability to do that. We saw that when Brian Stork was out playing tackle against Washington in the second half of that game. He really had a lot of friends with him. At times, all three of those tight ends. You had Williams, you had Gronkowski, you had Scott Chandler. You expect to see more of that, but to me, Williams is the key because his blocking ability really allows you to carry one fewer offensive lineman. Look for that going forward.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
It's always a lot of fun to go back there and play in that area.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week. Here's some pain that the Patriots brought. Matthew Slater and Rashawn Melvin on special teams. This one really doesn't need much of a description when it comes to pain. And here's one that thankfully avoided pain, Tom Brady making the tackle on that interception he threw.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joining me now in the Gillette Stadium Patriots locker room, Patriots cornerback Logan Ryan. Logan, coming off another game where the ball ended up in your hands, 11 interceptions now in your two-plus years. Why do you seem to have a knack to end up with the football on defense?
Got good teammates, got good coaches. They put me in a good position to make plays.
Well, he's being a little bit humble because I know you work hard on your hands in all seriousness. You know, when DBs don't get a ton of opportunities to catch the football, and you tend to maximize those.
Yeah, I put a lot of emphasis on it every year in the offseason and during the week, and it's good when you see it pay off.
And how much is that a part of what you guys want to do as a defense in the secondary? You're going against a Giants team this week that leads the NFL in takeaways, but as a defense, how much do you guys want to have a part of that as your
game?
We
want to create turnovers. We've done a good job of that, but we want more, and we emphasize it every week, and it's a big emphasis for us this game as well.
What are the challenges that the Giants bring? Obviously, everybody knows Odell Beckham from his catch a year ago and Madden covers, but what does that offense as a whole bring?
Good group, explosive, explosive players, good with the ball in their hands, and they spread it around a little bit, and they got a good quarterback back there. He's a smart guy who knows what he's doing. So everyone's got to be on their on the details this week, and it's going to be a very do-your-job type of game.
It's always do your job with the Patriots. How does that job change when they go up-tempo? They do some no-huddle up-tempo with Eli Manning. Does that put extra pressure on you guys?
You got to emphasize on technique, just like, you know, a two-minute drive or anything. It comes down to technique, thinking fast on your feet. We're able to have a good look at that every single week with our practicing against our offense. So there's no better preparation than, I guess, our offense.
For you, a little bit of a homecoming, going back to Jersey. You're a Rutgers guy. You've played in the Meadowlands in college. Is that special in any way to you?
Should be fun, you know. Got some people who are always watching, but maybe more people to make the game. So it's always a lot of fun to go back there and play in that area.
As we begin looking at this matchup with the hated New York Giants, it's about the Giants' passing attack led by Eli Manning, Odell Beckham, and Shane Vereen, and the Patriots' pass defense led by Chandler Jones and, in the back end, Malcolm Butler. They're both middle of the pack in terms of stats, but this is the last biggest challenge the Patriots may face, with guys like Beckham trying to get down the field. Beckham top six in both catches and yards. Will Malcolm Butler get that one-on-one matchup? Who knows, but we do know, big test. As is the case with any big NFL game, you want to look at the turnover battle. And these two teams, two of the best in that area. Giants, number one, plus 12 turnover differential. Why? 21 takeaways, a league high. Patriots, number two, plus 7. Why? Only 5 giveaways, best in the National Football League. Couple hiccups for the Patriots last week, but generally, both these teams are good in the turnover battle. Whichever one wins in that area might just win the game. Another key area in most NFL games, third down. But unlike turnovers, these two teams are very different. Patriots, number one offensively, third down conversions. Giants defense, 31st in the National Football League in third down defense. Why? Mostly because they don't have a pass rush. Only 9 sacks in 9 games this year. They did get Jason Pierre-Paul back, but as we all know, he was good when he had thumbs, 12 and a half sacks a year ago. He's done nothing yet.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Belichick is up here.
Can I finish?
And Coughlin way down here.
Can someone else talk?
No. That's what I do in this segment.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Here's a good one. A Packers fan brought a banner into the Panther Stadium last Sunday with the Green Bay logo and the words North Carolina Cheesehead on it. While players were warming up, he hung it over the field wall for all to see. Cam Newton saw it, and he wasn't happy. Feeling disrespected, he ripped down the banner and took it away. Now the sign's owner, Mike Dobbs, wants $500 and an apology from Newton. I'm coming down on the side of Newton. Exactly what was this guy looking for when he decided to hang that banner in enemy territory? I'll tell you what, trouble. Well, mission accomplished, Mr. Dobbs. You riled up one of the league's superstars. Now you want an apology in cash? How about admitting that you were looking for a reaction and that's exactly what you found? In some other NFL locales, you might have found a lot worse. I'm not advocating any fan being bullied or threatened, but be careful what you wish for.
You know, one of the guys, for some reason, around the National Football League that has one of the best reputations as a head coach is Jeff Fisher. And to be honest with you, I don't understand it. I don't think that he is, first of all, that accomplished as a head coach. Never won a Super Bowl, only been to one of them. And here's the secret that no one really seems to want to talk about. I think he's a dirty coach. I think that he encourages the kind of play that you saw in the LaMarcus Joyner hit on Teddy Bridgewater last week. He's got Greg Williams as his defensive coordinator. We all know about his history with the bounty situation down in New Orleans. Jeff Fisher, Mr. Competition Committee, is the guy that's telling us what's right and wrong about the rules in the National Football League, when it seems that these kinds of controversies with dirty play happen often on teams that he's coaching. Jeff Fisher, I just don't get it.
Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy created another firestorm this week, and it had nothing to do with pushing anybody on the sidelines or any new domestic violence allegations. No, instead, it were pictures that were posted by Deadspin of the original incident for which Hardy was convicted of domestic violence. And yet, for some reason,
The public reacted with great uproar. Suddenly they saw bruises. But my question is, why does it matter? It's sort of like, why did Roger Goodell need the video of Ray Rice to increase the suspension? We know domestic violence has occurred. Greg Hardy was proven guilty of domestic violence. So maybe it is true. Maybe a picture is worth a thousand words, but those words should have been there in the first place.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Giants head coach Tom Coughlin has two Super Bowl rings from victories over Bill Belichick's Patriots. So, Paul, I ask you, is Coughlin the closest thing that Belichick has to a peer?
You know, it's a tough one, and I don't think if you match it up just on paper, regular season, no. But you got to look at what he's done against Bill Belichick, Andy, and how can you get away from it? He beat him twice on the biggest stage. Yeah, I put him right in that category.
He had two great games. In fact, okay, I'll give him credit. He had two great runs for a couple months. But other than that, Tom Coughlin has been utterly inconsistent. And yep. To me, that just pales in comparison to Bill Belichick, who has been the definition of consistency from when 2001 through now in New England. They win every year, right? Double-digit wins. They're going to win the division. They don't go up. They don't go down. They're never picking in the top 10 like Coughlin's Giants have. So I think that's a key that just separates Belichick from Coughlin. He had those two great games. Other than that, he could have been fired a long time ago.
Yeah, well, he had more than two great games. I mean, I'm talking about when he has been able to establish himself against the best. I consider Belichick the best. There's no getting around that. We're all in agreement on that. I'm talking about an ability to formulate a game plan, get his team ready to play on the biggest stage.
Against the Patriots.
Right, against the Patriots. And it's not just in the Super Bowl.
But not in September and October.
I was very impressed that last game of the 2007 season when a lot of people, a lot of smart people in football thought Tom Coughlin should get his team prepared for the postseason and not worry about what was at stake for the Patriots. He didn't do that. And, oh, by the way, he almost won the football game. And then 5 weeks later, he did beat that undefeated team. So he showed you 5 weeks later is all it took, that it wasn't a fluke. He's able to match wits with Belichick. And I don't think there are a lot of guys in this league that can do that, even for one or two games, as you're so flippantly dismissing.
But you're dismissing the rest of his career.
I'm not dismissing
the Giants, what's their record
Belichick
right
is
now,
better.
Paul? 5-4.
Yeah.
That's so Giants.
Yeah, Belichick is better. We're not arguing.
Barely going to win the division. Barely going to make the playoffs. That's the story of Tom Coughlin's career. And then, oh, by the way, get hot, and Eli Manning will throw it up. It'll stick to somebody's helmet. And, yes, he'll pull off this great upset of Bill Belichick's team. That doesn't make him anywhere near comparable to the greatest coach that has ever lived, Paul.
Coughlin cannot
carry Bill's headset.
Well, that wasn't the question. You tell me what coach.
You want to call him a peer.
You tell me what coach Bill Belichick would.
Belichick is up here.
Can I finish?
And Coughlin way down here.
Can someone else talk?
No.
I want you to tell me who Bill Belichick would rather see. Anybody else or Tom Coughlin?
I think he'd rather see anybody. He's fine.
He'll
beat Coughlin just like he beats the rest of them.
There's
he's got a couple hiccups along the way.
You're not being honest with yourself.
No, it's not a peer.
Coughlin
he doesn't
is the
measure
answer.
Up.
If you had one guy to pick, right. Bill Belichick would rather not see him.
Trouble is, Coughlin never gets to that matchup because he stinks in September, October, sometimes November.
Different argument.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's question time on PFW, but as you can see, first, it's the Wilson Hart Power Index, Andy.
I like that look, too, by the way.
You do?
Nice. Patriots, pulling away a little bit here. The index number for the Patriots, number one overall, obviously, 8-0, 2.9. Number two, the Bengals, also 8-0, 5.14. Much greater differential between 1 and 2 than 2, 3, 4, and 5. So, Patriots are clearly the best football team right now, even coming off maybe a little bit of a questionable game. 3, the Arizona Cardinals at 6-2. 4, the Green Bay Packers at 6-2, ahead of the 8-0 Carolina Panthers.
Okay, let's get to the questions. This first one comes from Joanne Calagaro, or Calagaro. I hope I'm saying it right.
You didn't.
She says, I may be a girl, but the Patriots coaching staff made some uncharacteristic, strange decisions on Sunday. Is it possible the Patriots didn't take the Redskins seriously?
I won't say they didn't take the Redskins seriously, but we talked about it earlier in the show. You know, the onside kick, whether it's getting things on tape or trying things. And then I think the whole game plan changed once they dealt with the injuries on the offensive line. Once they lost Deion Lewis, it felt like, let's just run the ball. They can't stop the run. Let's get out of here.
Let's
we have the
here.
Victory. Yeah, I think there was a little bit of a hint of that. And I do. I think it was a little bit of a strange whole overall dynamic because of the opponent and the circumstances.
Yeah. All right. Next one comes from Albert Gonzalez. And he says, can a player like Amendola take some snaps at running back and help replace the production from Deion Lewis? Can that be an option?
I like it, Albert. I like it. I talked about this earlier in the show. I do think he's not going to be a running back. I don't think you're going to see him fill the third down back role, but I think his production will increase a little bit. We've seen a little bit of that in the times that Lewis has been out already this year. Clearly, Andy's been talking about this all season. Amendola's established himself as one of the guys that Tom Brady now trusts. I think he did that last year down the stretch and into the playoffs. So I think that he might be a guy that could see his production increase. It won't be as a third down back. He's not going to be asked to, you know, step into the A gap and pick up a blitz as a third down back the way Deion Lewis was. But I think his role will increase. I like the line of thinking.
Lucas Carvalho from Brazil says, what is the possibility in the near future that we might have a preseason or a regular season game in Brazil?
As Bill Belichick would say, I wouldn't rule it out.
No, in all seriousness, they
what
are talking
about
out?
Mexico. They're talking about Germany and expanding throughout Europe. And Brazil, obviously the Olympics and World Cup and things are putting them more on the map. They're having better facilities, infrastructure, stadium. So I would not rule out a preseason game. I'm not sure they're ready for a regular season game, but I think a preseason game, not out of the question.
Thorsten Giel writes in, I would prefer losing a game in the regular season than going for the next undefeated one. Pressure would grow and grow, and everybody would be talking about 19-0. We saw it last year. Brutal loss in KC woke them up. What are your thoughts?
I think it's the old Michael Gee theory. It's better to lose a game and take away the pressure. I'm not a big fan of that. I think you just play your schedule. You do what you need to do. Like Belichick says, each week you take as a case-by-case basis. Every game you're doing what you can to game plan for that particular week. I think this team does an exceptional job of not looking too far ahead. The coaches do that, but the players don't. And I think you try to win the games. I would have no problem if they end up being 16-0. I don't think that's going to prohibit you or lessen your chances to ultimately win the Super Bowl.
They didn't lose Super Bowl 42 because they were undefeated going in. You cannot tell me that. I will never believe that.
Okay. I believe that you won't believe it. All right. Believe it or not, that's the end of this show and the questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW@Patriots.com.